a few things can make a day extraordinary, right? You can maybe receive an email, which is very exciting email about a job or something. Or you can have a vacation in which, like, taking your family to Disney and the kids are having fun, everybody's good. But those days are the exception more than the rule. Most days we're working, we're at home, we're in where we live. But prayer is what can really make a day extraordinary. Even the most humdrum, quotidian, normal, average day, spending time with God and in God's presence can really make a lot of difference. What can make it really extraordinary. Sometimes we can be very intentional. Sometimes the Spirit just kind of grabs a hold of us and give us like days. Like I had one, maybe three weeks like that. I was working on a sermon for church. And I just kept going and then skipped lunch and started fasting. And it wasn't planned. But just like the whole day like that, it was very special. Just like no merit, just the Spirit that does it with you and for you, right? So I want to start with two quotes about prayer. One is about describing a normal Monday evening three or four centuries ago, something that happened to someone. Let's read. The year of grace, 1654. Monday, November 23rd, from about 10:30 in the evening to about half an hour after midnight. Fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosopher and savants. Certitude, feeling, joy, peace, God of Jesus Christ, forgetting the world and everything except God. He's only found by the paths taught in the gospel. Grandeur of the human soul, joy, tears of joy. Ain't that nice? A regular, average Monday evening. Nothing exciting happening, not even there is a church service, anything, just time with God, right? And how our evenings can be, our days can be, I think thinking of the unit of the day often helps us think in terms of if you think of a whole lifetime and a number of areas. But I think one day at a time can also be a small enough unit for us to think about these kind of things. And here's another quote. This one is a poem from one of my favorite poets, a Christian. He was a priest. And it's a poem about prayer. And it's basically a set of images, one after the other, a set of metaphors for prayer. So I'm going to read them slowly and invite you to think about what resonates with you, a kind of great hold of that image, and then use it as a moment for prayer, a minute. I'll leave it at the end in silence so we can respond to God with that image. Is that okay? So he compares. Prayer is a church's banquet. Is the angel's age, God's breath in man returning to his birth. The soul in paraphrase. Oh, I love that. Prayer is the heart in pilgrimage, a heart that travels. Is the Christian plummet sounding heaven and earth, reaching both. Is the engine against the Almighty. Think about the image in movies, maybe set in medieval times, before modern technology, when there were two armies, and they had these kind of skies of towers, which then threw rocks or things at the other enemy. So what were they called? Engine at the time, right? So you're fighting against God. You're throwing prayers and requests and struggling with God in prayer. Prayer is also the sinner's tower, where we take refuge in our sin. Reverse thunder from earth to heaven. Christ's side-piercing spear. Prayer can be 6 days' world transposing in an hour. A kind of tune which all things hear and fear. Softness and peace and joy and love and bliss. Exalted manna, the gladness of the best. When we are at our best, what's our gladness? Heaven in ordinary moments. A man well-dressed, an elegant woman is a person in prayer. The Milky Way towards heaven, the bird of paradise Think of the bird which visits Noah's ark, right, and brings good news. Church bells that are heard beyond the stars. Prayer is the soul's blood. The land of spices and good food. Something understood. Rich, right? Oh, I love that poem. Beautiful one. So often I latch on to different images, different things. And if you want to buy, he says collections of poems. Often like the devotional, they're prayers, right? It's a great poet, George Herbert. So I thought of a goal to go, try to go beyond quiet time and thanking God for meals. It's kind of the basic spirituality I inherited from my upbringing, which are two very good things, quiet time in the morning and thanking God for meals. And we can stop there, right? Over time, like we're very busy, the day keeps going. And I remember like there was a shop close to my home where a guy who does patches dresses and things. And I walked in him and he was, kneeling on the floor and he was bowing. He was Muslim, like a time of prayer. And I said, I didn't want to interrupt with him. And I said, maybe he prays more often than I do if they do five times a day, right? And how it can even be a challenge for us. We want to do that. And I thought of talking about how we can think about our days. Of course, the mornings is good. We thank God for meals, of course. But then trying to go beyond that. But before that, talk about a challenge we have today, which is technology, which is a digital formation, which is our society, our world, our culture, forms us, whether we like it or not, through our movies, through advertisement, through conversations, through things we see and music we hear. And a lot of it has just been technology. It's almost like a replacement of the Holy Spirit. Like what we stay connected to throughout the day, right? The cell phone gives a sense of connection, a sense of power, like when they access a number of things, a sense of intimacy, a sense of transcendence. And what would maybe the Holy Spirit, the God's presence could be throughout the day, now technology has become kind of occupied that space. So I thought of listening what can happen throughout our days, just so we can put it into words, right? So we can wake up. You wake up, you're there, you reach your cell phone, you're not even standing yet. You look at your cell phone and you find these kind of things. You find tragedies. There's also something bad going on in the world. Trivia, like in unimportant things, a cat or, I don't know, something like a celebrity gossip is always there. In Italy, we've had a very ugly divorce between a soccer player and a model, and it became really nasty, really public. And then they're talking about who betrayed whom, and he stole her shoes, and she stole his watches, and there's all this, and you're walking up, you see like all those things, right? Political conflict. Every day. Economic ups and downs, you think, the market is going up, the market is going down, and you can get worried. Work emails, we can even check our messages and work emails, even as we wake up, right, in the morning. Wake up, the heart is very fragile, it's very insecure, it's very tender, you're waking up, and you put that kind of flood of information and stimuli into you, right? Then throughout the day, we have all those stimuli, bings and plings and interruptions and someone calls and depending on how we set our notifications on our phones, these things can keep coming. I noticed that I was doing mental breaks throughout the day with more screen time. I was working on the computer and I started either reading an article online or checking things on my phone, and it was screen time the whole time. Remember, especially during the pandemic, I had a day which was just I pushed it all away. I kind of had a moment of rebellion, right? Because it's really a lot. It can really stay with you. Then meals without purpose or presence. Sometimes maybe as you're in front of the TV or computer or distracted. Then our evenings filled with rituals, with things like sports, which is nice, entertainment, drama, and comedy, which is often the moment of the day in which we want to relax a bit and which we also process everything that happened through the day. And we use those kind of things, like sports is like two teams combating against each other. And there we have a sense of a struggle, of victory or defeat, like we're rooting for somebody. And you kind of put yourself in there, right? remember once I was reading news about the war in Ukraine, and Ukraine was getting really hammered that day. And I was really getting anxious about that. I said, oh, wow. Of course, it's all bad news. But I realized I was also projecting a sense of injustice I had suffered like in my own life, personal life. And it was just like in the news, trying to find like sense of victory, like the little guy like winning against the big guy. Like we look for those kind of things, right? Or drama or comedy. And it's a way of processing things that the world gives us, and which, of course, is not as effective as doing that consciously. And then we'll come up in our dreams. We'll come up in our night anxiety. And maybe we wake up during the night, and things become, at least for me, like you become very anxious about small problems during the day you can solve. In the evening, at night, it becomes like really overwhelming. And maybe you reach for the phone, and you reach more bad news. I remember like reading about artificial intelligence these days, and whoa, look at what's coming in the world. And that's how our day can look like, right? It gives us a set of structure. It's not intentional, but we can like just live that throughout the day. Like wake up with like stimuli, and if we're not intentional about it, that's how we can shape our days. And even if the best things happen, we do good ministry, we try to spend time with family and with people we love and etc. With this kind of structure, of course, our hearts will be restless, our hearts will be anxious, our hearts will be fragile, because that's what's coming in, right? So, let me read a passage in which, thinking about that, how this classic passage in Philippians 4, how Paul talks about rejoicing in the Lord and feeding ourselves with better things. So let's read. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's how we want to live, right? That's how we want to bring into our days this kind of a connection to God. Of course, we have cell phones, we work, and etc. But we want to keep like almost spiritually online. I've started using this metaphor with young people. Like you're online during the day, and they're like, you want to be spiritually online, spiritually connected. So let's think about then about our days and think about spiritual formation as counterformation, in a sense, as doing something opposite that the way of the world that society brings us to, right? We want to counter, instead of all those stimuli, all those things, we want to be formed by other things. And the chief thing is a daily heart encounter with the gospel. It's something we believe in. We have trusted the Lord maybe years ago, but which often leaks from us, right? We wake up in the morning anxious again, wanting to prove ourselves to the world again, feeling insecure again, feeling hurt by things. And we need a daily heart encounter with of our hearts with the gospel. Not just like the Bible tells a lot of we have to remember. Like a lot of it is remember what should form us, right? So, think about then our moments in prayer. I think I'm thinking chiefly here about our mornings. At least for me, it's my mornings. Of course, I recognize people might have different rhythms of the body. And for other people, other moments in the day might work best. But at least I started starting my day trying to have some moment of, even before I go to scripture, a moment of emotional and spiritual awareness. In which what I do, like I prepare coffee, I sit at the couch close to the window, and just for 3 or 4 minutes, I just sit there in quiet and let the night process what happened during the night. And maybe I slept well, maybe I didn't. Maybe I woke up very energized and excited, so maybe like a very pessimistic. Maybe you remember a dream, you think, why did I dream about that? You started thinking about that, how am my body? How is the weather? The weather influences us a lot. Noticing our moods. And then into that, coming into scripture. Of course, reading scripture and also praying the scriptures is something I've found that very powerful, in which we read a chapter or a psalm or whatever it be, and then you respond to God through that scripture. This week I read about, for example, John 7, in which Jesus talks about the Spirit as a river of life flowing from out of us. He gives us that image of the Spirit. And then his brothers pressure him to go to Jerusalem and make himself known. And just says, my time has not come near. And we'll just think about the sense of timing, God's timing, right? And think about my own seasons of life and how I can respond to that and use that as a moment to meet God in Scripture. And then preaching the gospel to ourselves. I find that often, of course, I know that. And I often think about, I want to preach that to other people and remind people. But we have to preach it to ourselves. Things that do I have to remind myself that I'm saved by grace in Christ, not through my merit? Or do I think about I have to trust God for a worry or an injustice that happened? I have to wait on it and can't solve it in my own hands. I got to trust in God. Or is it a day in which I can have to remember that I'm adopted in God, in Christ? I'm a son and daughter of the Father, and I'm live my day from that posture. Not as a nobody, not as someone who's trying to prove to the world I'm somebody, but as a son or a daughter of the Father. Or do I have to surrender a worry? Whatever it is, like we preach the gospel to ourselves, we think about maybe from the text or maybe something else the Spirit might bring to us. And you stay there. Also something I started to try to do, also struggling in prayer, not just like a brief prayer here and there, but staying there and almost like a fighting or struggling. You remember like an image of spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, right? And you're there and you want to do that until you kind of face like what you want to deal with in that day. And you go from a posture of being spiritually defeated and emotionally defeated to spiritually standing and strong. And in the days in which I don't do that, then all the problems of the day, they're very, very big. The tragedies of the world feel overwhelming. My own emotions and temptations, they become very strong. But in the days when in which I do that, I set aside the time and in the posture of meeting God, it's a completely different thing. Like, you're strong, right? You can handle things. And it's such a different thing. Let me read another passage in which we hear a lot of anguish in the Psalms, especially when David was persecuted by Saul, right? It was a very long and difficult phase of his life. And he sent these words to the Lord when God delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Great, beautiful images. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you save me. Now we can connect to that and bring you can even spend like half an hour in that verse and latching on to one of those images and feeling there, like imagine yourself in a stronghold, right? Like a major castle defended, and God is like that. And oh, that's precious. Think about then reforming our days so we can try to remain spiritually online, spiritually connected. So we did it in the morning. We prayed, we were scriptures, maybe we walked praying or in the car or whatever we did. How can we try to then keep on doing in that kind of frame of spirit throughout the day? So I think it's just helpful to think about those different moments, right? So waking up. I find helpful to not look at my phone. and look at my phone only after I had that moment of prayer and silence, scripture, and etc. Then when you hear, like, see work emails, you see, like, tragedies in the news, you see the market is up or down, like, you're spiritually standing, right? Even emotionally standing, you're ready to process those information, maybe pray for the tragedy that happened in some place, and you're ready to take that in. I also try to have many mornings, we try to set us up as creative time for preparing sermons or writing something, and often I don't check my phone until lunchtime. And then it is amazing, just like staying there, like just no phone, no technology. Of course, I work on my computer, but just checking messages and emails at lunch and having setting aside a few times of the day in which I try to do the kind of connection and answering people and etc. and not having that interrupt me throughout the day, like a WhatsApp here, Instagram there, email here. It can stay the kind of superficial, like a distracted frame of mind, right? And not do good work, good creative work in whatever we're doing, because well, all of those things are coming in and those beeps and stuff, right? It gives us a proactive and not reactive approach to the day. Prolonged time in the Word, which is something obvious, but at least I recognize I never skipped my time in the morning with God. But I confess, especially in my 20s, that I tried to do it very fast. And just to read what I had to read, because then I had to do a number of things, and it's depending on me, right? The church and the sermon and the people and etc. And I realized, like, no, of course, that's a big mistake. I just started having much more time and realizing that we're doing things not just for God, but with God in a sense, right? And having that kind of posture, and if you're preparing a sermon, if you're meeting someone, if you're working in the meeting in the office, it makes a lot of the difference, and having bringing God into that from our morning time with Him. And then also a posture of listening to the Word, listening to the Spirit, listening to ourselves, whatever our own emotions or bodies might be communicating, having the posture of listening and trying to keep that throughout the day. Dealing with stimuli and interruptions. I think it depends on whoever we are. If we are, of course, in an emergency kind of job, if you're a firefighter, you work in the emergency room, etc., you need to have be interrupted, of course. But many of us do not. And many of us have more interruptions than we should. Or at least we could maybe put them in the specific parts of the day and deal with them then in that, those moments, and have other moments in which we work better, we relate better to other people. So being able to think about how do we deal with those stimuli and interruptions. A lot of just going, I was in my network yesterday, someone mentioned a statistic. I don't remember, just off the top of my head, but I think something people spending maybe something more, three and a half hours on social media per day. It was something to that effect. I thought, whoa, that's a lot of time. And what were we looking there? Like, we were looking for connection, we were looking for stimuli, we were looking for, what are people doing, right? So think about that. I know that there are people who do stimuli for prayer, like maybe having a watch, which maybe once when the hour turns, there is a blink, and you have to do a short prayer there. It doesn't work for me, but some people do that. You can think about that in that proactive sense as well. Then mental breaks. So as I mentioned, I realized I was doing more screen time with mental breaks and doing more, reading more articles, and sometimes you read something interesting and you open something else, and half an hour passed by and in which you're more depleted emotionally, and you want to go back to work, but you get lost in the weeds, maybe an hour and a half go by, right? I started doing mental breaks in which I try to don't look at a screen, don't look at my phone. If I can, if I'm home, we live in the last floor of our building, and there's a small terrace. Just walk up the stairs and walk to the terrace and look at the sky, look at the buildings around me, if there's people walking the streets, and having a mental break, feeling the emotions I'm feeling, being present to ourselves, and praying and meeting God from that, right? It's a much more effective way of processing what we're doing. And then you come back to work after 5 minutes, you're refreshed, you have energy, you're optimistic, you have maybe ideas for the next hour and a half you're working. I thought it was very helpful. There's a writer who's very, very productive. He writes about technology. What he does is called Andy Crouch. He works for 24 minutes, 6 minutes break. 24 minutes, 6 minutes break. I haven't done that frequently, but he's a very productive guy, so it works for him. So you may want to try that as well in terms of dealing with breaks. Then we come to meals. Of course, there are different kind of meals. Some we do them alone, some with work colleagues, some with our families at evening. And I think a lot of it is trying to understand what is the purpose of those meals and think about and being intentional about them, right? Sometimes I have meals with my colleagues and it's kind of almost like a meeting and it's good, we're doing that. Sometimes we're just we want to be present with someone, be it a friend or a family member. The goal is to be in the presence of that person, right? Or sometimes I have meals with myself if I'm working at the office by myself. And I can have a sense of time with presence with God. It's not very deep, but it's just like having an old friend with you there, and you can share ideas, and you can having a sense of presence there, right? So at least meals are moments in which we break our day and we should nourish ourselves physically. We also can think about nourishing ourselves spiritually, emotionally, be connecting with people, with God, with ourselves, and being intentional about that. Then our evening rituals. Someone did mention journaling. I started finding that very helpful in terms of just processing the day. I just do simple bullet points, this happened, I'm feeling like this, or maybe a to-do, something I know I gotta do, and I write down, either I send an email to myself for the next day, or I get it written down some way, otherwise I'll have that in my mind. And it will worry me during the night. I may wake up during the night and think, oh, that thing, I gotta remember, I gotta do that, right? Writing down things for ourselves and even setting us up for the next day, it helps clear the mind and process things and not deal them with the drama, with the soccer match, with the comedy, whatever we're seeing, right? In the evening, to deal with those things. I've also found written prayers very helpful. Like George Herbert, his collection of prayers. There's another one, a collection of Puritan prayers called the Valley of Vision. And these are very deep and rich prayers, from the Puritans. In the beginning, it was strange for me to find a written prayer and pray that. But I found them very rich. And they really expanded for me because I noticed that a lot of my prayers were really self-centered, right? But all the things about for myself, like, Lord, bless my plans, bless this, and etc. They were very repetitive and very simple. And sometimes we find one of those prayers, like those Puritans, thanking God for his providence, or dwelling in God's presence, or confessing sin. And it's just it's very a rich theology, the prayer we read in the beginning, right? So things like that in the evening, I found that helpful. Or even go back to scripture and not think about the evening as wasted moments. Turning on the TV, doing whatever, might show up. It's, of course, we can do TV, we can do Netflix, we can do sports, but then not let our spiritual component of the evening pass by. And then comes night anxiety. And I think a lot of us are having more trouble sleeping, especially a lot of because of technology, right? In the beginning, you had just the light of the sun. And when the sun went down, you go to sleep. Maybe you can have a candle that's the kind of light you had. Now we have those screens, which whatever time of the day or night. And I think more people are having trouble sleeping at night or waking up during the night. And thinking how we deal with that anxiety. When we wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning, you feel, think about something, and it just become like, whoa, that enormous big worry, right? And I just learned to tell by myself, it's the night. I know I'm getting much more anxious than I will be the next day. I'll be able to deal with that in the morning. I surrender that to God. I trust that to God. I invite him to be with me there in the bed. And I try to not take the cell phone. Otherwise, because of the news I'm going to see there, it might be interesting things, but you become worried, right? You bring that into your night. So I think it's just practices, just a few ideas for us to think about the day and how to deal with those things and be much more intentional, much more self-aware, try to be more God-connected, and including practice in our own lives about that. And then here, a final section in which then think about the unit from the unit of the day. Then let's think about the weekly and yearly rhythms, right? Then we can live. The day is a very key unit of time that God gave us. He gave us also the week. He created a God in 6 days, created the world in 6 days, and rested on the seventh. He gave us that commandment to obey and live that rhythm, right? How we live in the Sabbath is something that may not be a practice that everybody practices, depending on your denominational and theological background. Some evangelical Christians tend to be more activistic and try to do a lot for the Lord, which is good, but also having a time in which we trust that God is in control and we leave the work to Him and we can rest. Thinking about also how we incorporate technologies into our Sabbaths or not. I try to stay away from my phone throughout the day and just use it for calling like family members, like my parents, my in-laws, and that kind of connection. Or maybe we watch a movie with the kids, but it's something intentional, and not having the technology dominate my Sabbath, which will keep that day like similar to the rest of the week, right? So think about the practices. And I think about that's something I did not inherit from my family. We did not really practice it very intentionally. My wife's family did. And it was a very precious. When we got married, we started doing that. And I remember on the Sabbath, I wanted to like wash the dishes, wash the clothes, like be productive, even if it was home chores, go grocery shopping. Like I had a few years to try to overcome that productivity drive, which could not rest, right? And how precious it became just to be able to rest and to find what will replenish me in that day. I am a pastor, so we do that in our Saturdays. And for me, Sundays is more of a work day. And just trying to figure out what will replenish you and what will connect you with yourself, with your God, with your family. In our case, my rhythm usually is like have a prolonged time in the mornings with the Word. Then I go do some physical exercise, which is very, very helpful in a way of also letting the body and the emotions get processed. Sometimes it comes to mind things that happened during the week. I remember one Saturday I was anxious about something and we realized, what was that? It was about a meeting on Monday, which I did not really process emotionally. I was angry with the situation and I became aware of that and could think about that. Then we try to eat out, go to a park or something outside with the kids. And I try to have also a moment in which I try to replenish myself. And what works for me, not for everybody, for me is reading a good book under the sunshine. I go under the window, find a good book, sunshine, and then one hour or two there, like I'm good. It really helps. It needs to be a good book as well, right? So that works for me. From people, some other people like in nature, whatever might work for you. But God gave us this rhythm. It's a commandment in Scripture. And we should not and must not disobey and not practice that. And it's very key. I think especially in our younger years, we want to be productive. We want to prove ourselves. We want to accomplish things, which is good. But I realized that practicing the Sabbath and letting go and bringing God into things make us deeper and more profound and more productive than we'll be otherwise. Then family meals and the evenings. Some of us maybe are not married. Some of us are live by ourselves or whatever situation we might be, right? But I think the family meals in the evenings are also a very important moment in which we're also letting technology get in there. Even if it is the phone on the table, I realize I had the phone on the table. And sometimes, even if we were like with our kids, I was checking things and sending a quick message someone from work, right? Or some families like leave the TV or the radio open, on, and that interrupts. So I think about what would be a good rhythm for your family and the stage in which you're in. In our case, we started to set aside all the technology, nothing on the table. All of us being present there. It doesn't mean we want to eat everybody together in the evening. And also having a moment with the kids later. It may be like doing a devotion with scripture with them. Now I'm reading one of the Narnia books with them. Or it can be a board game or something. I think especially for families, it can become really like everybody goes back to their phone. The kids go watch their cartoons, video games, and etc. It's just like a 20 minutes quick eating, and we miss that, right? Even as we're able to form our kids in the ways of the Lord. So, also, retreat days is not something which is part of a traditional evangelical spirituality. Maybe it's seen more like an Eastern or Catholic thing, but it's something we can incorporate. It can be like going to a retreat center, going to the beach, going to, my wife and I, like once or twice a semester, we go to a spa one hour outside of the city. And it's just like 25 euros. It's not like very expensive. We just go to the pool. We talk. We spend the day together. We process things. It's good just in terms of doing that. Sometimes I do go by myself and having time with God there. Trying to invest in very, very special family vacations. They don't need to be expensive. Just times in memorable times in which we spend time with... Now our kids are like 11 and 13, and it's a phase in which it's good to have physical activity with them. So now this Easter, we went to a part in Italy where there is some trails, and they love the trails. So we're just doing trails between the towns, and they love that, and having the that yearly kind of rhythm. Conferences like this can be a very important part of our calendar. I was talking with another leader who teaches here, Dave Petty. He was telling me that... He set a rhythm. He calls it three feasts, bringing in the mind the Jewish feast, right? So if I recall correctly, he does a study break in December, like 2 weeks, in which he reads, studies, and prepares the materials he's going to teach the next year, maybe even here at ELF and etc. Then I think if I recall, March, it's a family break. They do a family gathering of the kids, grandkids, everybody, like they go to a mountain and spend a week together. And then in August, just replenishing the body, like time at the beach or whatever it is, like a rest for the next semester. That works for him. But I just thought it was a nice idea to think of our yearly rhythms and how we can think about. We can, of course, we inherit the seasons and the winter break, Christmas break, spring, Easter, and summer, and we can use those. It might be those, it might be different, but be intentional. Be intentional and not just reproduce what we receive from our family and from our culture, but be intentional how we want to shape our year. And it really make all the difference. Having a structured life in which we think about the day, in which we think about the week, in which we think about the year, then we can handle a lot of challenges. We can accomplish a lot of things. If we have a good set of structures, right? To deal with things and work with that. I thought of closing with another moment of reflection in scripture and closing with that. Is that okay? This is from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed.